You may be seated. Let me invite you this morning. Follow along with the sermon notes. You can fill in the blanks if you like. Most importantly, live out the message that you hear. So we're in the second week of our series on parables. Last week, we heard about the parable of the sower. This week, we have a number of short parables that we'll go through as well. Now, I believe that we human beings have a perception problem. We see things in one particular way, and then we discover that they aren't quite the way that we thought that they were. Oftentimes, we are just completely off or completely wrong. For example, Thomas Wheeler tells a charming story on himself. He was the former CEO, chief executive officer, of Mass Mutual Life Insurance Company. And he tells a story that way back when he and his wife were driving along the interstate, they're in their car and they noticed that they were running low on fuel. And so he pulls off, he finds a gas station there, and this was back in the day when you had a gas station attendant. Someone there would actually put gas in your car. So he asked him, you know, fill it up and check the oil while you're at it. Thomas then wanted to go and walk around a little bit, stretch his legs. He'd been driving for quite some time, so he kind of walks around the station. And then when he gets back, he notices that his wife is in this animated conversation with the attendant. And he kind of scratches his head and wonders about that, doesn't think too much about it until he pays the attendant, gets in the car, and then the attendant waves at his wife and says, it was really great to talk to you again. So he asks his wife, well, who was that guy? And she said, well, I knew him way back in high school. In fact, we dated steadily for about a year. And so Thomas says, well, aren't you glad that you met me? I mean, now you're the wife of a CEO, a chief executive officer. And she says, well, dear, if I had never met you, then he would be the chief executive officer and you would be the gas station attendant. Things aren't always like we think they are. We have this perception problem, and Jesus knows this, particularly when it comes to spiritual things. So he told some parables that we might gain some insight, especially about the kingdom of heaven. And so today we have a number of parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus says, a small mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Now, why a mustard seed? Well, it's a really tiny seed, about the size of a grain of sand. You could literally put 1,000 or more of them in the palm of your hand. But as you plant them, they grow into one of the largest bushes in a garden. Then he goes on to say that the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman would take and mix into about 60 pounds of flour. Now, who would do that? Have any of you ever taken 60 pounds of flour to bake bread? Now, I'm not a baker, but usually it's just a little bit. So unless you are a baker, you're not going to take 60 pounds of flour. So we ask, what is the point? Well, Jesus is saying that God is at work. I think we just sang a song about that, didn't we? God is at work, even when we're not watching. Even though our human eyes fail to perceive what is happening. You see, we live in this big, big, big world. And everything that we focus on is bigness, this huge universe, this big sky, the billions of stars, the vast oceans, the vast forests, and all this idea of bigness. Even when it comes to our problems, we look at our culture, our society, we have these global problems, immigration and poverty and homelessness. And we wonder, how are we ever going to solve them without realizing that so many of them start small? Do you remember the pandemic from a few years ago? It started with a tiny little virus, and it affected everything. We have these tiny little seeds that grow into something very large. Take, for example, in your relationships with the people that you love, it's often a single word that gets you in trouble. Or maybe just in my house, I don't know. That often happens, and it creates a rift between people. On the other hand, it can be a tiny thing like a heart valve about the size of my thumbnail that can actually save a life. And so when we come to the kingdom of God, God didn't come with his legion of angels to solve the world's problems. He didn't consult a giant computer or even all the principalities and powers of the world, but he planted a tiny little seed by the Holy Spirit into the womb of a peasant girl. And that tiny seed grew and became a fully formed man who would go to the cross and there die for the sins of the world. Now, as we look today at the Christian church, or just Christianity in general, we often feel like we are not winning. In fact, sometimes it looks like a losing proposition. It was no different in the days of Jesus. I mean, how many disciples did he start with? 12. And then it grew slowly in those first several years as they followed Jesus. And the disciples would look around, and Jesus is saying, it'll be different. Now, for now, it's small. It's tiny. And it doesn't look like much is happening at all. So for now, this is what you get. But things are going to change. And finally, things will be put right on the last day. And he's telling us the same thing, especially for those who are looking for justice in the world, or if we feel like we're on the losing side of the equation, it's the way things are for now. But Jesus says things will be different. And that's the message of these first two parables. It's the tiny things that are going to make a difference. The kingdom of heaven isn't always the way that we perceive it, but one day it's going to grow and spread, and it will be different. And then he goes and he tells these next two parables, the ones of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. So, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a treasure in a field. And then he goes and he buries it, he hides it, and he gets the money to buy the entire field. Or it's like a merchant who discovers this fine pearl and he sells everything that he has that he might purchase it. Now, you've probably heard this before. The traditional so-called discipleship reading goes something like this. Jesus is trying to motivate us to be committed to be a disciple. And we're going to give up everything that we have, all that we are. It's like, is anybody going to watch the college football playoff tomorrow? Anybody rooting for Notre Dame? A little quick poll here. Nobody? A couple. There you go. Anybody rooting for Ohio State? A few. The rest don't care. So if I were a college coach, and I used to coach football, I would give a rousing, inspirational, motivational speech before the game and get the players all hyped up so that they would run through the proverbial brick wall. But here's the problem. Does anybody want to see me run through a real brick wall? It would not be pretty, would it? Would not end well. You can't do it. No human being can run through a real brick wall. And so also for the kingdom. None of us can pay the price for our own salvation. Can't enter the kingdom on our own. What does Ephesians 2 say? For it is by what? Grace. Grace, not by works. It's by grace that you are saved, and this through faith, and not of yourselves, so that no one can boast. Even if we wanted to, we can't pay the price. We often say that the kingdom is of such great value that we should be willing to give up all that we have to gain it. But we can't. So let's take a look at the parable in a little different way this morning. So last week, just to kind of refresh her, there was a man, there was a farmer, and he scattered seed on the soil. Somebody tell me, who was the man? This is not a trick question. Who was the man? Was anybody listening last week? God. God is the one who, Jesus. Jesus is the one who plants the seed, which is the good news of salvation. Some of it falls on rocky soil, and some of it the birds snatch, and some of it the thorns grow, and but some of it falls on good soil, the you people, and it sprouts, and there's a crop of 100 or 60 or 30-fold. All right, you did so well on that one. Let me give you another example. The parable of the talents. There is a man, right? And he gives 5 talents to one servant and 2 talents to another servant and 1 talent to the third service. Who's the man? There you go. Jesus. So why do we in these parables, the only ones where we say the man is something or someone else? So let's try it. Christ is the man. And what does he do? He finds a treasure and he gives up everything. He leaves the glory of heaven, the praise and the adoration of the saints and the angels. He gives up his divinity and he humbles himself. And he goes to the cross and he sheds his blood. He gives everything, including his life, for the treasure that's hidden in the field. Remember in our Old Testament reading for today, the treasure was the people of God. The disciples are the ones who are hidden, sometimes buried in the problems of the world, many of which we create for ourselves. Or we begin to listen to the lies of the devil. And we get overwhelmed and we feel like we're losing the battle. The merchant discovers this pearl of great price, and he gives up everything to acquire it. Christ has purchased and won us with his precious blood. And so this truth should give every single one of you, those of us who are the treasures, those of us who are the disciples, those who are the followers of Christ, incredible joy. You should be filled with this great joy and tremendous confidence that our God would give up his most precious resource, his only son, and Jesus himself would give up everything for you and me. If he would do that to purchase us, then he is always going to hold on to us. And one day, that last day will come, and he will take all of us to be with him forever in heaven itself. What a privilege and a blessing it is to be that treasure. You know, Jesus also says that you and I are salt and we are light, meaning that we are to make a difference in this world, that we don't keep the good news for ourselves, but we spread it around as well. So it's our privilege this morning. We want to welcome Julia Hines from Redeeming Life Ministry. Julia, where are you? There you are in the back. Come on up. Let's give her a round of applause and welcome.